The text I have today, and you can turn to Matthew chapter 10. I felt drawn to this. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We are in chapter 10 of Matthew. I want to give some context to our text to read the context. Let's start in verse 1, and we'll read just through verse 18. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The immediate application was to the 12 apostles and their ministry labors. There were 11 true believers, and then there was one who Christ called a devil. He said, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Of course, that's Judas Iscariot. He was a false apostle. He is called by the Word of God, the son of perdition. There's one other man called the son of perdition in the Word of God. John 17, the verse 12, we see Judas called the son of perdition. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is part of Christ's high priestly prayer to his Father for his disciples. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was a false apostle. There is another one who claims to be an apostle, the Pope. He's a false apostle. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, speaking of the papacy, every pope says, Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That is the Antichrist. And so here you see the witness right before the eyes of the church. A man stands up and says, I am the apostle of Christ. And he fits the description of the Antichrist to a T. What was it, Charles Spurgeon that said if the Pope's not the Antichrist, he should be arrested for impersonation? Well, he is the Antichrist, of course. Spurgeon could add a little humor from time to time. And he's a false apostle, and he's a son of perdition, just like Judas, betraying Christ. Now, the second proper application, which we need to then make of our text, is to all ministers of Christ with regard to their ministry labors out in the world. Then, of course, also missionaries, and in truth, all faithful Christians when they are engaged in ministry out in the world. Christ was speaking to the apostles first as he was sending them out into the world. Yes, I know, to the lost sheep of Israel, but it's out into the world of unbelievers with the gospel. And so now we make an application to all ministers and missionaries, and then also, of course, to all Christians going out in the world to share the gospel and to preach and share the word of God. Now, it follows that there's also an application of this text which should be made with regard to all Christians also as to our behavior and words out in the world as those not of the world but in the world. I'm talking about just our conduct and words, yes, first in public ministry, but then our conduct and words, our dealings and doings at all times when we're in the world. Certainly what applies to ministry here would apply, wouldn't it, to all of our dealings and doings and actions and words when we're out among unbelievers. That we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We begin here then with these words of the Lord Jesus. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Context for us is Christians out in the world and the wicked men in the world whom Christ calls wolves. Now there are wolves which come in among the Lord's flock, false teachers and ministers, well concealed under sheep's clothing. They have a verbal wetness. They have, we might call, the right credentials. They cultivate a certain winsomeness. They usually are very eloquent and very learned, but their preaching and practice are at odds in certain points and often in many points with each other. Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7, the verse 15. Then there are also wolves who are not so well camouflaged in that their words and deeds both are unscriptural. It's not a matter of these ones in sheep's clothing where their words are maybe very good and sound, but their practice isn't. Now here you have a case where these wolves are not so well camouflaged. Their words and their practice, we might say, do agree. They're both corrupt and both unscriptural. Paul warned of savage wolves, grievous wolves. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Jesus says here in our text, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Christ speaks here of wolves in the world. The apostles went forth to preach the gospel. Christ warned them that he was sending them out into a world, even in the land of Israel, filled with wolves, both religious wolves and heathen wolves. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. And when Christ commissioned the 70 disciples to go out, two by two preaching the gospel, he warned them, Luke 10, the verse 3, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. The Lord's blood-bought people, ministers and people, are his sheep. We are his flock. We are under his care, his protection, provision. We ought to be as sheep, willingly led and fed, guided and guarded by our good shepherd, trusting always in him who purchased us and washed us with his own blood. But in the world, and looking at the context of our text, the Lord's true people, being generally just a small number, in good spiritual times more, yes, in bad spiritual times much, much less, but in general a small number when compared to the great masses of humanity, we are, in our identity as Christians, in our service for Christ, and in our pilgrim way of life, we are in and of ourselves as helpless as sheep, even as lambs in the midst of wolves. There are in the world, again, depending on the times, sometimes more, many more, and sometimes less, but there are always savage wolves, religious wolves and heathen wolves, instruments of Satan who utterly hate the Scriptures, Christ, and His people, and are always vigilant to do what they can to harm the Lord's blood-bought flock. We are, that is, if we rely on our own power, our own strength, our own so-called wisdom, we are then rejecting and contemning the omnipotent strength, effectual power, and perfect wisdom of God. We are grieving the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and we are quenching His work. And this we will then truly be, as helpless as sheep in the midst of a flock of ravening wolves. If we're not devoured immediately, it's due only to the grace of God and the restraining hand of our good shepherd, Christ Jesus. Now, Christ would have us to understand and remember then that we are of ourselves and in ourselves, compared to the fury and craft of Satan and the hatred and power of those who serve him, we are as sheep in the midst of savage, hungry wolves. He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." The Lord would have us remember that without him we can do nothing. And if we stray from him, we make ourselves fair prey to savage wolves. Yes, there are times when it is the Lord's will that his people must bear witness for him, even in persecution and suffering not brought on by their own disobedience. I say it is not the rod of God upon their back, but for his glory and the advance of the gospel. There are times when his people must suffer in persecution, even at times being killed all the day long like sheep for the slaughter. And Christ Jesus is with them and gives them the grace and comfort and strength and even the rejoicing they have need of to be more than conquerors through him that loved them. We have so oftentimes talked of the gospel triumphs, how Christ has triumphed through his people all around the world, Christ, the arm of the Lord made bare in his gospel, how the church, sometimes through much suffering first, but has gone from victory to victory all around the world. We always triumph in Christ. Isaiah 11, verse 6, speaks of these times, gospel times, and the great effectual work of the Spirit by the church and the preaching of the gospel then. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Well, some of those wolves end up in the Lord's flock as sheep. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. But the exact issue with regard to our text is our responsibility as Christians to conduct ourselves wisely in the midst of wolves. We look at the terminology, sheep. This is used in different ways when it comes to Christians. The good shepherd and sheep and the flock. Well, here, the context, the meaning, the issue is our responsibility as Christians to conduct ourselves wisely in the midst of wolves, not giving evil men opportunity and advantage by our recklessness, foolishness, unfaithfulness, carnal impulses on our part, dare I say stupidity even, during, yes, ministry work out in the world, our witness to the world, but certainly also with regard to our walk in this world as Christians. When you look at us and Christians like us in this world today, for instance, we homeschool our children. We mince no words when it comes to the sins being celebrated these days. We have no truck with all of this worldliness and rock and roll, Christianity so-called, and this corrupting of the gospel, and so on and so forth. In one sense, we stand out like sore thumbs, don't we? In our dress, in our ministry, in our preaching, in our witness, and so on and so forth. And we need to take this to heart. This warning, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. We need to make application of that to our ministry work. Our witness, we also need to make application with regard to our walk in this world. Just with regard to our walk in this world as Christians. So Christ instructs us, be therefore wise as serpents. Now wise in the original language, and I think it's clear from the context as well, has the meaning of being well thought out, discerning and cautious. You can see the word wise used in different ways in the scriptures, can't you? We do in our own language as we talk to one another. Well, here, the context makes it clear. It dictates that understanding. The original language certainly makes it clear. The meaning is well thought out. We need to be well thought out in the things we do, the things we say. We need to be discerning. We need to have a right sort of caution. So the first thing we have need to notice and remember is that we Christians who sincerely and diligently seek to follow Christ and be faithful to Him in our preaching, witness, and practice are as sheep among wolves. We should never forget that. Should we become proud? Should we begin to trust in our own strength and power and wisdom? And begin to act then impulsively and recklessly and foolishly without true wisdom and prudence and thoughtfulness and discipline and discernment, we will in time rue the day that we became arrogant and proud and strayed away from our good shepherd and forgot this very warning which is in front of us in His word. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And so our Lord goes on then with that reality in view and that context to give this counsel and instruction. Be therefore wise as serpents. As they were on the brink of taking the gospel to the lost sheep of Israel, Christ Jesus instructs His disciples with regard to their words and their behavior, as well as all their dealings and interaction with the unsaved. He says, be ye therefore wise as serpents. Wise. Now, serpents are far from the smartest animal. In our text, serpents, though, is used in a figurative sense, having in view how people, most people, have always regarded snakes. They have a reputation as being adept and cunning in avoiding and eluding their enemies. The Lord Jesus will most certainly feed, guard, and guide His own sheep. Of that we need have no fear. But we have a responsibility to avail ourselves, first, of course, of the means of grace He provides, but also with regard to this warning and instruction of His in our text, we have a responsibility to walk wisely in the world. Yes, in ministry, that's the first application, but then in the world. All the time we're in the world. And walk with discernment and to be circumspect in all our dealings, ministry, and otherwise. As followers of Jesus Christ in the world but not of it, and not living as it, as the blood-bought flock of Christ seeking to be the light of the world, though, and the salt of the earth, we have no desire to retreat into some little commune. We have no desire to cease being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. But we have to remember we are as lambs among wolves. And these days the wolf population is growing by leaps and bounds. We have a duty then to be vigilant and wise in our words and actions, to diligently avoid the snares of the devil and his human instruments. We are reminded by our Lord in this text before us to exercise spiritual wisdom and discernment, to speak and act prudently, and to walk circumspectly. In fact, to walk after the Spirit. In our ministry, in our Christian witness to the world, we must shun reckless behavior, foolish and loose words, untoward actions, unnecessarily provocative behavior, and the stirring up of unnecessary controversy. Of course, the wicked are provoked when we go out in the world and preach and share the gospel and stand against evil, of course, and there's controversy. But we must diligently avoid provocative behavior that is not Christian, that is of the flesh, and the stirring up of unnecessary controversy. And we must steer clear of all those who act that way. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. We're to be wise, discerning, prudent, and circumspect in our ministry, and of course in all our dealings and doings in the world and with worldlings. We are to avoid giving wicked men an excuse, let alone a reason to take advantage of our loose, foolish words then, of reckless behavior on our part, and so forth. We give them then an excuse. Perhaps in some cases, they get a valid reason even to justify persecution at some level, using the power of an increasingly ungodly civil government. Peter reminds us in his first epistle, chapter 4, the verses 15 and 16, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. And if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Suffer as an evildoer. You might say, well, none of us are likely to be a murderer. I trust none of us would be a thief. But then you have evildoer. That's evil, to go out and bring reproach upon the name of Christ by acting foolishly and recklessly and by carnal impulses, perhaps to get attention or to stir up controversy or whatever it might be. That's evil. It's evil to completely ignore this warning of our Lord's. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." It is evil and it is dangerous. Be therefore wise as serpents. Our Lord in this text doesn't mean that we should mute the gospel or be ashamed of being his people, or that we should make any unscriptural compromise with evil, or that we should ever obey men rather than God. He does not mean we should stop being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, the sweet savor of Christ to God. He doesn't mean we should cease to abhor evil and to resist the devil, to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness. He doesn't mean we should compromise with wickedness and be friends of the world. God forbid that anyone would say that's his meaning. Christ is not instructing us to lay our crosses down, having commanded us to carry them. He's not telling us to take down his standard, to lay aside our spiritual armor, to surrender and tamely submit to his enemies, to strike a truce with the devil and evil men. God forbid. Paul, speaking by the Holy Ghost, says, 2 Timothy 3, the verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Matthew 5, the verse 11, words of our Lord, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely," falsely, "for my sake." We don't give cause, just cause, for them to persecute us or speak evil of us. If there's persecution, if there's evil speaking, let it be for the sake of Christ and our witness for Him and our seeking to follow Him in this world in every way. Now remember, the immediate context of our text is that Christ Jesus was sending the 12 out to preach the gospel and witness for His name. He was sending them to do so among savage wolves. And they were to act faithfully in spite of all danger and hatred directed toward them when they acted faithfully. But they were to walk, to act, and talk wisely and act prudently with discernment and care. Ephesians 5, the verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See then that ye walk circumspectly, that is, with wisdom, discernment, watchfulness, great care and prudence. Not as fools, but as wise, and redeeming the time, making use of the time for the good of our souls and the glory of God, as opposed to indulging in foolish, wasteful, reckless behavior and words. Because the days are evil. The days are evil. Certainly these days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, that is, in each situation. Colossians 4, the verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And of course, we think of Romans 12, the verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Behold, I send you forth as sheep, in the midst of wolves, be ye therefore wise as serpents, and going on then, and harmless as doves. Having warned the 12, and then all ministers and missionaries, and then the whole ransomed church, to be wise as serpents when we're out in the world, being the evangelical light of the world and salt of the earth. And then also certainly warning us when we're out in the world, just in our daily interaction with unbelievers, that we are to be wise as serpents. He also says we're to be harmless as doves. There isn't a creature more harmless than a dove. Doves just walk around eating weed seeds and such. Doves are never a threat to the crops of farmers. Crows are. Sparrows are, wild turkeys are, but the farmer doesn't have to have any concern that the dove will do him any harm. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How so then? Well, we ought to be anything but harmless as doves to the devil's kingdom. We ought to be aggressive against the devil and spiritual darkness, and in seeking to win souls for Christ. Proverbs 11, the verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But Christ says, be therefore harmless as doves. This is not a call or a proof text for passivism. It's unscriptural to insist that there are never situations where a Christian can righteously, and even in some cases must, insofar as he has the ability, defend others against violent aggressors. But the context of our text is first ministry in the world, and that also has application to our daily doings and dealings out in the world. All of our words and actions. The first context of our text is the spiritual labors of a spiritual people, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal weapons are useless in spiritual warfare, and worse than useless. They do not tend to the glory of Christ, quite the opposite, and they do not please Him. It is unfaithful and destructive to use carnal weapons in spiritual warfare, spiritual ministry. We must rely on the strong arm of the Lord made bare, the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Why would we not want to? There is no weapon stronger. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It was not so long ago, at least it doesn't seem like long ago to me, that we went through the whole passage in Ephesians 6 concerning the whole armor of God, which begins with this, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Speaking of spiritual armor. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we're to be wise as serpents, but we're also to be harmless as doves. And what does that mean, then, that we're commanded by Christ to be, as we're out in the world, whether it's ministry or just out in the world, as harmless as doves? Well, of course, it goes hand in hand with being wise as serpents. It's the other edge of a double-edged sword, a double-edged command and instruction by Christ Jesus. In the world, we must take care to conduct ourselves in word and deed so as to avoid the snares of the enemy and bringing unnecessary persecution upon ourselves, our families, our church, and even our brethren in other churches. We must strive to be a mature, wise, circumspect, prudent, discerning, and rightly cautious people. And so we're to be in that way wise as serpents. But our concern must also be not to cause harm in any way to the cause of Christ or the church of Christ or to souls or to lost sinners, including our adversaries in the world. In our ministry labors and in our witness, as well as our walk as Christians, we have to take care of them. Not to compromise in any way the Word of God, not as to law and not as to grace, not as to doctrine or application or practice. It is not just a matter of being wise and not giving the enemy anything. We have to make sure that we don't abuse our understanding of that to where we do harm to the Word of God and to the cause of truth and to the honor of Christ. Certainly we're to do no harm to the glory and honor of God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior in the eyes of men, or to do harm to the free grace and mercy and righteousness of God, I say, in the eyes of men, and to the souls of the lost and the purity of the church by watering down or dressing up the gospel or by the use of worldly wisdom, devices, or gimmicks in our ministry in the world, because that's the context of our text, or by foolish unscriptural banners or tracts or preaching or by ceasing to preach the whole counsel of God's word, thus to please the world, or by making sin, or at least some kinds of sin, less sinful, and harming souls, contemning the word and the righteousness of God, including in Christ, and his cross. We can do harm this way. Much harm by ceasing to stress the necessity of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and the necessity and reality of regeneration, or by ceasing to preach and contend against false religions, or by any compromise with the world or false religions, let alone any kind of spiritual religious relationship with false religions. We do harm. The harm we're being warned not to do. We're to be harmless as doves. We do harm by our silence when we should speak out against compromised, corrupted ministers. Someone might say, but that's within the church. Yes, but these people witness to others without the church. And in this day of the internet, certainly, there's many, many unsaved people without the church that see the example of these ministers, and they say, oh, this is what a faithful minister is. or they see evangelicals working hand in hand with Roman Catholics in various causes, religious in nature. And even if they're political, if the evangelicals are in an organization and it's said to be a Christian organization and all of them are Christians, the world sees that. That does harm. The world witnesses all of this. And the world is instructed in the case of ecumenical relations with Romanism that Romanism is Christianity. And so great harm is done to the honor and glory of Christ and the millions of souls, including Roman Catholics. We're not to do harm like that. We're to be harmless as doves. And what about Christians getting involved in foolish, ungodly fads dressed up as Christian? The world sees this. We can speak about the harm within the church, but the context is the harm in the world. The world sees this. It does harm. The name and honor of Christ in the eyes of the world, it does harm to lost souls. And all of these stupid movements based on contrived nonsense which sweep through the church, we're not to be involved with those things. Certainly for many reasons, but speaking in the context of our text, because we then do harm to the cause and the name, the honor of Christ, and also to souls. We do harm. I mentioned things that are obvious when we speak of this injunction from the Lord, this instruction, this command, be therefore harmless as doves, as we think of going out in the world to preach the gospel, as we think of even our daily interaction. If a known Christian is unreliable at work, dishonest, sloppy in his work, a cheat, cheating his employer out of either money directly in some way, or materials, or time. That does harm. That is a public witness that this is what Christian character is, and this is the effectual work of the gospel in regeneration. We're out there among wolves, but we're out there among unbelievers as well that are not necessarily the wolves Christ is talking about, but just lost souls, and we're not to do harm to them. We're not to do harm, especially to the honor and name of God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. And in the context of this also, that we're to be harmless as doves. We ought never to return to our adversaries in the world evil for evil. Certainly as we're out doing ministry, we ought never to return evil for evil. I am not saying we shouldn't avail ourselves, at times even of legal recourse. When the free course of the gospel and religious liberty is at stake, Paul did. But I'm saying we're not to return evil for evil. We're not to try to get even. He did that to me. I'll take care of him. We're going to be doing harm then. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Several appropriate passages before we close. 2 Corinthians 1, the verse 12. Paul said this about him and other ministers of Christ. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you ward. Philippians 1, the verses 27 and 28. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Your behavior. The sense is, with that word conversation there, from the original, as citizens of the kingdom of God, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. Our conversation, that is our behavior and our words, our interaction with others, our doings and dealings in the church and outside the church and ministry and just in the day-to-day warp and woof of life out in the world, being not of the world but in it. Our conversation should be as citizens of heaven and as becometh the gospel of Christ. And this too is wise. And this too is in accordance with what Christ said, that we should be harmless as doves. 1 Thessalonians 5, the verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Philippians 2, the verses 14 and 16, 14 through 16, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Let's just close with Psalm 23. Because we are as sheep in the midst of wolves, yet we have a good shepherd. If we would cleave to him and stay close to him, if we would take heed even to this, that he's told us today that we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, then we're in the place of safety. Then we're within that strong tower that the righteous runneth into. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then this, as we think of our text today, behold, I send you forth as sheep among wolves, and that we're to be wise, and that we're to do no harm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.